Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
We're going to continue with our Newsmaker series, looking back at some of the big stories that hit the headlines through 2025. This evening, it is all about Trump's tariffs. Just a day after April Fool's Day came Liberation Day. Here was Donald Trump back in April.
My fellow Americans, this is Liberation Day. Waiting for a long time. April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn, the day America's destiny was reclaimed, and the day that we began to make America wealthy again. Going to make it wealthy, good and wealthy. In a few moments, I will sign a historic executive order instituting reciprocal tariffs on countries throughout the world. Reciprocal, that means they do it to us and we do it to them. Very simple. Can't get any simpler than that.
All right, that was US President Donald Trump. And you might remember the cardboard cutout of countries and the impending tariffs that they were going to face on their exports. Ireland came under the EU umbrella and we were staring down the barrel of 20% tariffs. Well, I'm joined by the positive economist and presenter of News Talk's Taking Stock, Susan Hayes Cullerton. Susan, do you remember that?
Oh, I remember it well.
That and press conference, it was kind of chaotic.
But I remember the lead up to it. I remember what it could be, what it might not be, and then the cardboard cutout and then all of the numbers. But Ciara, I wonder whether people remember that it was only 6 days later when he wrote back and a whole load of it. And then, of course, after that, then there was months of the taco trade, like the Trump always chickens out. The stock market went on a wild goose chase for a while. And then what really came to a head then in July, particularly in between the EU and the US, then we settled for the 15% tariff. And at that stage, that was only going to happen if the EU then made a commitment to buy a significant amount of energy, $750 billion of energy from the US, and then $600 billion is what it needed to commit to investing in the US from a capital perspective. But the amount of uncertainty, I mean, 2025 will be forever connected with the Trump tariff.
But there was countries that he was going to tariff that didn't have any humans.
That's right. Yeah. And also, if you remember how he was doing it, like he was taking the amount of trade that happens, which is basically how much trade the US was doing minus the trade that the other country was doing. And that basically was the basis for it.
So plus or minus divided by 6.24. I mean, it didn't actually make sense. That was my memory of watching that press conference. I can't figure out how you've got to these numbers.
But it didn't matter how he got them. The point was they were going to be imposed until they weren't. And then also in June, of course, as well, that was when the agreement between the US and the UK happened. Suddenly Keir Starmer and Donald Trump were besties. And around this time as well, I mean, the alerts that were coming out around May and June where the tariffs were going up to 100%, 125% on China, 145%. And then, of course, then the conversation moved to the rare earth metals. So, oh, it was a bizarre time. But the amount of uncertainty was shocking.
And where have they settled?
So between the EU and the US, they have settled at 15%. Now, there are some commodities where, for example, steel and aluminium, where it's now at 50%, and that has had its own knock-on effects. But an awful lot of this has settled down. And that was the case between the EU and the US. But the other thing that happened, of course, is that the exchange rate between the euro and the dollar changed a lot. Like when we started off the beginning of the year, we were heading towards parity. Just before I came into studio here to talk to you, it's now at 116. So there's been a significant weakening of the dollar as well, which was no help at all to Irish exporters selling into the US. So you had the double whammy there of the tariff, and then you had the exchange rate. And then, of course, on top of that, then you had the uncertainty that led to not being sure what to do and the administrative burden along the way.
Okay, so we kind of settled on a tariff between Europe and the US. There was, of course, that deal that he did with Keir Starmer, his big buddy. Do you remember when he was invited to come and meet the king and have a state visit? It was all part of the charm offensive coming from Keir Starmer, which does, in fact, I think, appear to have worked. What about other big trading partners like China?
Okay, well, if we go right back to the start of the year, Ciara, if we were sitting here in January, we were talking about the fact that he was threatening 25% on Canada and on Mexico. And so at that stage, like that, there were going to be very, very big numbers. Then a month later, he said then he was going to pause it for a month. And then we thought, is this just all threat? Like, is this all bluster? But the reality is, in aggregate, if we take into consideration what's happened in China and the other countries and the EU here, etc., fundamentally, we started off the year where the effective tariff rate was around about 2-ish percent between the US and the rest of the world. It's now at around about 14% and a little bit plus. If I was talking to you at the beginning of October, I would have said that it was up at 17%. But of course, he's rolled back now again on some food tariffs as well. So the reality is, in all the upping and downing that's happened, the thing is, doing business with America now, if you're dealing in goods, is more expensive.
And is really unpredictable, which is not what anybody likes, because as you say, he has rolled back on things like coffee and bananas because the cost of those products in the United States were just kind of going through the roof. I mean, at the time, he argued that the US had been exploited by cheaters and was being pillaged by foreigners. Was there any truth in that?
Okay, if we boil that down to what he meant economically, was that the US was basically buying more goods from some parts of the world than it was selling into. Now, if you take into consideration the size of the market, the consumption power of the market, and by the way, a quarter of the trade deficit between the US and the EU was driven by Ireland, particularly by us selling our pharma exports there and the tech services and so on. So,
but we were importing their services, which he never wanted to recognise.
And that was where it was another side, but there was never any talk about putting tariffs on services now, Ciara, was there? It was all just about the goods. So he wanted four things. And let's just look at whether they've been successful. One is he wanted to collect revenue from foreigners, as you refer to us. So far, in fiscal 2025, $195 billion has been taken in. And the amount is round about at 40-odd billion a month now. But Bloomberg estimates that just 4% of that is being collected from foreigners, 70% by intermediate firms in the US, and 26% by consumers, which points to why he has had the issue with affordability then when it comes to avocados and coconuts and so on that he rolled back on a week ago.
Okay, so he wasn't sort of raising direct revenue for the government by all of this, which is kind of how he sold it.
But that's the point, is it was a tax on people in the US.
Consumers
and importers, like that's who's paying for this. The second thing he wanted to do then was promote domestic manufacturing. Now that hasn't worked because the latest jobs report notes that there are 58,000 fewer jobs than a year ago in manufacturing. But think about it. If there is a 50% tariff on steel and aluminium, then it costs more to make stuff and to make the stuff that makes the stuff. So that hasn't worked out so far. The third one, it's too hard to call this one yet, but the trade deficit. He basically said, right, if we put a tax on goods coming in from abroad, well, then people should buy more American. And that's grand if it's there. But because the dollar weakened, of course, then the purchasing power of people buying things in from abroad, then that weakened. There was massive inventory stocking at the beginning of the year as well, when people said, well, we better buy in things now before the tariffs happen. Then, of course, we had the government shutdown for 2 months as well, the longest ever in history. So we didn't have the data. And then there was substitution effects. So rather than buying in things from places that had higher tariff rates, there was the substitution effect then. So let's say buying things in from Vietnam instead of China. So it's too hard to call whether that one has worked. And then the other one is national security. So Section 232 tariffs we all became familiar with, which is the tariff related to, is this a threat to national security? And in that case, I'm going back to my steel and aluminium again, they have increased costs then from buying from abroad. But one thing he has been effective at, and it is important to point this out, is the sheer volume of commitment of capital investment to the US. Now, he says it's $21 trillion. Now, that'd be 70% of the GDP. I don't think anybody places any faith in that, including the White House itself, which says that that's actually $9.6 trillion. Even, Ciara, even if it was $1.5 trillion, which is probably pretty accurate, that's bigger than Roosevelt's New Deal. And it's bigger than the stimulus that was put into the economy in 07 and 09.
OK, but we have seen commitments before from big organisations to go back and to reinvest in the
And do
yes, and it hasn't yeah. actually ever really worked out that way.
Well, that's because like you kind of play to his ego there a little bit, and that generally works as well, right? But if it depends, what is a capital commitment? Like, is it new money? Is it existing money? Or are you buying things you'd plan to do anyway, and then you call it capital? Like this is big, big, serious money. So, and being able to articulate that you're doing it is in this context probably as powerful as actually doing it itself.
Okay, very briefly, the Supreme Court, which mm-hmm. has been examining whether or not the legislation that he used, this Emergency Act, to introduce these tariffs, whether or not he had the authority under that legislation. Where is that case at? Is that about to report shortly?
It is, but it's very hard to know where it's going to go. So the law that he was referring to there was the International Emergency Economic Powers Act of 1977. And that is where the President has the authority then to regulate transactions if it deems to be an unusual and extraordinary threat. The question is, are things like buying in bananas and beef and pharma of a national of a threat? So that's where that's at. If it is the case that the Supreme Court goes against him, I mean, the Treasury Secretary has said there could be a refund of up to between $750 billion and $1 trillion. Like, there's a... And who is it going to go back to? Or else it could be prospective, which is, OK, we'll stop tariffing now. But the thing is, Ciara, if he stops the tariffs now, that money's gone. And then, of course, he's also promising to give it all back to people as well in $2,000 checks. But I've been looking at this as well. And now you could drive a bus through these figures, but all the same, there's no harm in telling you what they are. The Tax Foundation thinks that the $2,000 check that he's talking about giving to everybody earning under 100 grand could cost $300 billion a year. The Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, that is saying that it could cost up to $600 billion a year. But sure, that's more than he took in. And he's saying that he's going to do this in 2026. But if you put a $2,000 check in anybody's hand, it feels like something. And it would be great from, I'd imagine, a Republican perspective if that happened pretty close to the midterms. But the numbers here, like, they're all big. There's big bucks, but the question is the substance behind them.
Why do I feel tariffs is going to be a new story of 2026 as well, Susan?
Maybe you have instinctive predictive powers, Ciara, but we will keep in contact on that.
Oh, I look forward to it. Susan Hayes Cullerton, thanks for all of that.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code FITNESS at kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code FITNESS.